Evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Motorsport Republica, episode 48.
Oh,
how we going?
Good, boys. What's going on?
Probably one of the biggest weekends of motorsport in recent memory. Pretty much every category worldwide.
Crazy.
Was out on the weekend.
So. Yeah, it was.
We've got a lot to talk about.
Oh, mate. F1s.
So, yeah, F1s to start. I mean, what an event in Australia. It's just getting bigger and bigger every year. I just can't believe the amount of people were there over the weekend.
And yeah, yep. We were there, Tom and I, and obviously Daniel was at ASBK, but we walked around 16 Ks later.
Racking them up.
Fuck, man.
So much to do, though.
There's a lot on, isn't there?
To do.
Yeah.
And, like, we walked around the track, and I'm sure the fans listening at home were the same. Like, every spare spot inside that and outside the circuit had something going on.
Yep.
Food vendors.
Bars.
The Ferris wheel. There's interactive things. Like, it's just an incredible event they put on.
Heaps of bars, and there was, like, all those gaming things as well they did.
Yeah.
Fuck, there was a lot going on. It was a massive... And perfect weather as well, especially the Friday and I think the Sunday as well. So
yeah, nothing against the... Obviously, they have a lot of classic cars and stuff that park. And I remember that being the biggest thing to look at on Friday. I was walking past all the car clubs. But now it's just like an afterthought. I mean, there's just so much going on.
Yeah, they had like a Batmobile there.
We walk in at 8:45. We walk into the center where the fan zone is. And like, you got Piastri and Norris on the stage with... Would there have been like 10,000 people
you
already
could,
there?
And you could hear That's the nuts. Screams of like the all the chicks and shit. It was like from the other side of the track. It was like here on a V10 car on the other side of the track. It was all these girl screams. It was incredible.
God, I just remember, and we spoke about this over the weekend. I remember being there before COVID, like 18, 19, and used to go to that stage.
Yeah.
And there was like 100 people there on a Friday morning.
Yeah, that's right.
Like no one at the Melbourne Walk. I mean, fuck, no, it was just... It's crazy.
It was so different. There was you'll laugh, Daniel. There's this like old guy like trottling around the whole track in like a button up Jack Daniels V8 shirt. He was kind of just like pissed, looking around like, where the fuck am I? Like this isn't like a racing event.
It was like going to a Melbourne Cup carnival.
Yeah, steroids.
Yeah,
it's just glamour on the grid.
Well, yeah, it is. It's so different now, and I would say 65% female. I mean, it's just so different now.
Yeah,
and loving it, you know, like
loving it,
obsessed with it. So, yes, it's so good for the sport financially, but we'll see how what happens over the next
years. Well, I said this to you on the day, and you might find this interesting, Daniel. Is when just say like 2 or 3 years ago, we were there and it was like kicking off all the Drive to Survive stuff. And there was heaps of like glamour, you know, Insta girls, rah-rah, already there. But this year, it didn't seem like there was many as them, but there was more girls, but they actually seemed more, I guess, passionate fans.
Fan base,
you know, where you could just tell they were actually there to see the drivers or whatever. So it was kind of changed again, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of that. And like, the glamour's still there going... You know, corporate pits and all that kind of stuff, and people dressing up. But there's some serious diehard female fans there.
The sensory room would have been overloaded, I reckon. But the sensory room would have been chock a block. They did about three.
They had that hidden; we couldn't see it.
Yeah,
MotoGP that front and center, so a bit different. Now, what an event! I mean, the third most attended Formula One Grand Prix ever in history.
That's amazing.
Adelaide 95, still number one. They had 500,000 people.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Silverstone was the second, 480,000 last year. And we'll see what they do this year. But, you know, F1 Australia came out today and so they want to be bigger next year. They're going to open more events. They're going to make it even bigger, even wider. So
I don't know how. I don't even know how.
Get us down there. That's how.
Yeah, that's all right. Ooh, I love it, Daniel.
That's it. Beautiful.
I love it. Too. Well, the thing is I think it was you or Danby. Shout out to Danby.
We caught up with Danby, number one ticket holder.
Yeah, number one ticket holder. And we said, we were talking about how they're going to make it bigger. But this is what's going to happen. One of you guys said it, is they're going to like over provide everything and then it'll start dying off.
Yeah. There'll be that one season or that one race, 1 year,
They have 10 Ferris wheels.
They've overcompensated and then it starts going back again.
Yeah.
But, mate, that race, going back to it, I mean, Ferrari 1 and 2, it couldn't have been a better time for that to happen in the sport because...
Needed it.
Really Absolutely needed it. Did. It really needed it. And the scenes, it's such a fucking pity they weren't allowed on the track after the
fucking
race.
Bullshit,
yeah, that's
man.
Ridiculous.
So hopefully that'll get changed
fucking
next year.
Bullshit.
But, I mean, Ferrari, McLaren, Yeah, it was a great race. I think it was a better race watching it on TV than what it sounds like watching it at the track. Because I had a lot of feedback from mates who were there going, oh, geez, it was a bit of a boring race. I'm like, yeah, but there was a lot of strategy going on. There was a lot of like unknown what happened to Verstappen at the start of the race. It was interesting, the battle with the McLaren teammates as well.
Yeah.
Looking at Lando and having to let Piastri letting him through. So there was a couple of excitement things there. But it was a better race than probably... You know, seasons of old. Last year was amazing, but yeah, that was for other reasons.
What's your three most impressive, most surprising, and most disappointing out of that weekend?
Well, I'll go first if that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most impressive for me was Carlos Sainz. He just, he was fantastic. Didn't make a mistake. And look, not going to say he got gifted the win. I mean, if Verstappen was still in the race, it would have been a really exciting battle. But he had the pace all weekend. And ever since he's been not given that contract for next year, he's just lifted. Apart from his appendix, obviously. But
no appendix, no worries.
Yeah.
Well, it was funny over the media, he was saying, oh, maybe that's a secret, you know? Maybe all drivers should get their appendix out. That extra, you know, half a kilo might get an extra tenth, you know? Biggest surprise for me was Tsunoda in the top 10, finishing seventh in the end after Alonso's penalty, which we'll touch on next. A great result. I mean, frustrating being obviously Ricciardo fans. It just didn't have the weekend that we all hoped he would have. And obviously there's a little bit of pace in the car, and he had a really, really, really good weekend. That follows on to my most disappointing was the stewards giving Alonso that 20-second penalty after the race. Just, it's racing. I don't know what the go is. He was slowing down, so obviously Russell didn't have that DRS advantage with the slipstream. Mm. So, yeah, it's on the edge, but a drive-through penalty, I mean... That was the penalty. I mean, I thought that was really, really harsh. Daniel,
same as you for most impressive, Carlos. I mean, managed it really, really well. And interesting little tidbit: first person since I think 1979 to come back from a medical absence and win a race.
Fuck, I love it.
That was nice.
That's
one.
Cool. Yeah, nice. So, I love Daniel's tidbits.
But yeah, I thought he raced awesome. I thought the Ferrari was really good. I think that their whole weekend was pretty good, and they worked it out really well and actually worked within the team really positively.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. No stuff ups. Biggest surprise was double points scoring for Haas. I think probably got a little bit lucky with a few people in front.
True.
Coming out, but you know, good for them.
Yeah. They've actually had a pretty good results in Australia last few years. I mean, the first season, I think they had the issues with their pit stops, they fucked up the first couple of rounds where they let the cars go and, you know, both the wheels came off. So, yeah, great result from Haas.
Yeah, so that was a biggest surprise. And then probably Checo as disappointment.
Yeah.
You know, if Max isn't winning, he should be winning. He's in the best
car. Or at least podium.
He's
56 seconds behind.
Yeah.
Signs in the end. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So that was a bit, that was probably the most disappointing when you're in a, you know, the complete package, really.
Correct.
Yeah.
Of all the backing.
Jim. I'll just have an honourable mention, if that's all right, for the most disappointing was Sauber's wheel nuts.
Oh, I was going to put that down, but then I was like, nah, it's...
So,
no, it's good.
So, not to, you know, bring all the attention back on me, but...
Standard, Daniel.
But yeah, I mean, they've got a known issue.
Yeah.
With these nuts, and they can't.
It's common,
they can't change it until they redesign it, and they can't redesign it until they're back in Europe. So,
and it's like some of them like 50 second.
Yeah, they just
pit stops.
They just keep cross threading the nuts. So, oh fucking!
It was really funny on commentary too.
Crofty.
Yeah, one of them was like, Sauber's keep playing with their nuts all day or something like that. I was just like pissing myself, but yeah.
James. Most impressive, obviously, Carlos Sainz. We don't have to go back into that. Most surprising for me personally was just seeing how many Piastri fans they were over the weekend.
Yeah.
I knew he was big in Australia, but like he was 90% of the people that I saw at that racetrack.
Yeah, a lot more Piastri than Ricciardo.
Like, yeah, 90 to 10.
Night and day.
Yeah, it was incredible how many Piastri fans there were. And obviously the orange stands out, but like when we were there, I hardly saw any Max fans, I'm going to be honest.
No.
But
I saw one person with a Max t-shirt.
Yeah, it was just a sea of Piastri, which was cool. It was really good to see the Aussies getting behind him and he's doing really well.
Yeah, Matt.
And most disappointing for me, obviously Perez, but my main one is, I don't know how you're going to feel about this, is Lando letting Oscar through. I still think it's so frustrating because Norris comes out and says, well, I was a lot quicker and I would have overtaken him anyway. So if you're already a lot quicker and you're saying you're going to overtake him anyway, just do it. Like, I get it. You've got the pace to try and catch Charles, which he didn't do anyway. He hadn't even put a dent into him. Like, just let him race. Like, I get it, but if you're saying you're going to overtake him anyway, just overtake him.
Yeah, it's not that easy though, James. It's not that easy. Same machine.
But at least it makes a battle. Maybe I'm a bit more old school, but I like more of the entertainment.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, it's probably too tactical now.
There's going to be always that problem in F1 with team orders.
I hate it. I fucking hate it.
And they tried to ban it over for a few years, and then they just went around it by having code messages and stuff. So, I mean, that famous...
multi 21,
there was Fernando is faster than you. When Massa let Fernando through at Hockenheim in, I don't know, 16, 17.
Well, it didn't pay off. It just gave Lando a podium. So that's the frustrating thing.
It is a frustrating thing, but yeah, I mean Piastri, he's still the young kid of the team, so. Yeah, it's frustrating because we're Piastri fans. That's the thing. If you're Lando fans...
But even if it isn't, like, I'd just rather watch a racer's race.
Yeah. But imagine if they took each other out trying to pass each other.
Yeah, I think they made the right call.
Yeah, I get why they do it. It's just dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just as for an entertainment.
But you got to remember, Lando was in front of Piastri and then they pit Piastri first. So they could protect him against George Russell. So you've got to repay the favor because the undercut's always going to be faster as well.
Yeah.
But very valid point, James. Very valid point.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. Like, they just do it so well.
It's an amazing, it's how they do it. So V8 supercars as well there. I mean, it probably loses its light now because you've got F2 and F3. I mean, that's amazing racing to watch. But F1 are actually in talks with supercars to bring some supercars as the support category in some of the Asian races.
Oh, that's cool. That'd be awesome.
Didn't they used to do that at Yas Marina? They used to go over there.
They did. They did one year at Yas Marina. Yeah. I remember Mark Scaife was on commentary for practice one in the F1s. It was actually so surprising.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Yeah. And that's crazy.
And V8's raced at Bahrain for a couple of years, but they didn't race on F1 weekend. It was its own weekend. I think they did China possibly.
Okay.
But I mean, that'd be cool.
Good for the sport. Really good promising. For the sport. And it is a good undercard, I guess you could call it, is the V8s. It's good racing.
And internationals would be like mesmerized by it. Yeah, like they'd be like, this is V8. So cool. Yeah. You know, they're big, like...
American-looking muscle cars.
There's not really anything like that out there. I mean, you got the GT cars and stuff, but they're always a European...
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. That's really cool. Hopefully that comes into fruition.
So, boys, where's Mercedes going to go from here? I mean... Like, my early season prediction is just falling to the toilet. I mean, double DNF. Hamilton didn't look like he was on it at any stage in the weekend.
Worst start to his career, I think he said, ever.
And
he looked shocking.
The car just doesn't have any pace. I mean, you looked at Perez passing Russell on the weekend. Like, he just flew by, you know? Both of them got on the radio, Hamilton and Russell, and said, like, you know, this thing's a rocket ship. I mean, you must be feeling so slow in the car. So, man... Who knows? I mean, they're in a bit of a sticky situation. What are they going to do next year? They're going to sign that young gun, Kimi Antonelli, who actually had a really promising weekend. Yeah. He was leading at the Grand Prix at one stage in F2. Are they going to sign Sainz now because he's having such a great start to the season? So who knows? Who knows? Will Sainz go to Aston Martin and Alonso go to Mercedes? What's going to happen? I mean, that's the exciting part going into the end of the season.
Bit of a silly season.
Yeah, I just don't know where they go from
here.
They're
in a whole world of hurt, though.
They are. They've got to work something out. Quick Smart as well. Is there any talks of them having any upgrades in the next few races?
There is. I think Japan's going to be the same sort of situation with their car. And I'm telling you, boys, we might not have a pod next weekend. So my prediction will Japan, Verstappen will fucking absolutely dominate because it's all aero that track.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then those two large straights, it's rare Mercedes are really, really going to struggle. So it's going to be really interesting. Going back to Europe. Oh, it is actually... No, they go to China after that, don't they? So it's back-to-back races, Japan and China. and then back to Miami, and then probably San Marino mid-May, probably where the big upgrades would be, I would say, because there's no sense of bringing an upgrade to Miami because it's such a unique
street. That's right. Yeah.
It's not like anything else.
It's not like anything else. You bring upgrades there, you won't even know if they work or not because like it's such a unique circuit. So
pushing shit up a hill.
Don't you reckon it's funny, the last time Tom and I had the pod here, I asked Tom, when's the next time Verstappen's not going to win a race? And it was literally the next race.
Yeah, I know.
You put the jinx on him.
Yeah.
You're good at that, actually, because you got me good last week as well, you dog.
I did that with the footy. Every time I turned it on, a goal gets scored against us. Yeah. I just turned it off. No, I reckon that happens bullshit.
To me as well.
It's a problem.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, he was going for 10 in a row. So there goes that whole thing. Will they win the race all year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
43 race streak. Yeah. Last time he finished was 2022 Oz.
Australia. Yeah.
Isn't like it's 2 years ago. Something's going on down here. Must be because we're upside down.
It's because he didn't go down Lygon Street. That's why.
Did you see the Ferrari go down Lygon Street and the guy's pouring a Red Bull out the side of his Ferrari?
Oh, no. He's just like Red Bombing it.
And then he runs over his can and then the camera pants to the cam and then up to Ferrari. Fuck, it was so good.
That's wicked. That's awesome.
Just such an old, like an old bullfrog going like, yeah, that was fucking awesome.
Shout out the Papaginos. They would have been fucking making pizzas left, right, and center that night,
bro,
surely.
What's a Cavallino?
Cavallino's a big Ferrari. Bro, like, it's full of Ferrari.
Pumping that place.
Yeah. Plus, it's near the square. A lot of, even on a normal day, there's always cars parked out the front of them.
Mm, yeah,
but
true.
I seen some Instagram stories and I was like, there's not a chance in the world I'm going down there. I'm not even going to go on the bike.
You would have been the king, but bro, imagine you down there, Daniel. You would have been kissing your feet.
That would have gone out of the way.
Yeah.
That would have let me walk.
You would have
been
like
there.
Jesus going through the fucking Nile wherever he cuts the water.
I would have sat on top of a Ferrari just waving at people.
Yeah.
It was funny. Right. My godfather came over. I'm like, oh, if he had the VL, I would have gone. But
fuck, Northern Suburbs spec. Not even Lygon spec, Northern Suburbs spec.
But it is good for the sport, like we touched on a little bit earlier. All jokes aside.
It couldn't be a more perfect weekend. Mercedes double DNF and Ferrari one too.
And I think it just shows these first few races that Ferrari's slowly but surely getting their stuff together.
They are.
And they're really starting to work together properly. And
yeah, that Fred Vasseur, he's the obviously team principal, came in last year. He's a sort of a jokey sort of character, but I think behind scenes he's really whipped them into line, so
they need it
because the pit wall just made all these comical errors, didn't they, last year and last couple of years? So yeah, it's looking really promising.
100%. And McLaren fucking put the pressure to them.
I did,
like,
yeah.
McLaren pushed them hard. When you think of it, really, you go back and watch it, it wasn't easy for Ferrari, and they didn't crack, where normally, like you said, they'd butcher that and throw that down the drain.
Yeah,
but Sainz, I mean, you got to remember, Sainz stayed out longest out of all the front runners, put the laps in, came out in the lead again. I mean, that's why he's our most impressive first trap performance of the week.
That's all right. He must have been drinking it hard, recovering from his appendix.
Yeah, so I think he had it in his water pack.
IV of thirst trap. But he's the only person to break the Verstappen streak in the past. Yeah. A couple of years, really.
Non-Red Bull.
And the funny thing is the last three races Sainz has won, Russell's DNF'd.
Oh, there you go. So if Russell DNFs, you know Sainz is most likely going to win the race.
So Silverstone 22, Singapore 23, and then Australia 24.
That's awesome. It's good. Ferrari winning is just nothing but good for the sport.
It's the best for the sport, man. Yeah.
And
especially
it's always
the
good to see. I love seeing
the
Ferrari
one, two.
Win. Yeah.
Like
I thought they were gonna do a formation going over the line. That would have been me.
Well, he said on the radio, he's like, tell Charles to get close to me, and I thought that would have been unreal.
Oh my god, how good would that photo have been?
Yeah. Shed a tear?
Yeah, I would've.
But it was good, man. What did you boys make of the whole Williams debacle?
Oh, that's a great point we haven't touched on. Very harsh on Logan Sargeant, but probably made the right decision in the end. I mean, he was so close to getting a point L1. If anything, he finished 11th in the end. But it's so harsh. I mean, you got to remember, these guys made this 17-hour flight trip out here. He's practiced in the car. He hasn't really made a mistake. He's made a lot of mistakes, Logan Sargeant, over the journey. But comes out here and then gets told you're out of the car. I mean, fuck, you got to go all the way home, you know, without driving, without racing. I mean, it's very harsh.
It's hard on the ego.
And he didn't make a mistake. Albon made the mistake.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall on that conversation.
Not an easy one to have.
Fuck no, that's rough.
My first initial thought was, you know what, Albon made the mistake. That's unfair. And I think I expressed that when we were sharing our posts. And but yeah, I mean, in the end, I think it was probably the right decision for the team.
100%. And especially for them, that sort of mid to lower field battle, like every point for them counts. It all comes down to dollars and what they're gaining from their sponsors and all that. And at the end of the day, you want your best driver in the car.
The real issue here though, Daniel, I reckon, is why don't they have a spare chassis here?
Yeah, that's weird.
That's like, it makes no sense. A street circuit.
I was going to say, for a street circuit.
You've got concrete walls everywhere. I mean, yes, it was a big accident, but it wasn't a massive fucking thing. In the cracked chassis, I mean, how do you not have a spare chassis here?
Yeah, that was.
You got another race in Japan in 2 weeks. You got another race in China just after that. I mean, bring one out here, you know?
Yeah. So that was a joke.
I don't understand the logistics, and I'm speaking, you know, now because I don't understand, but that surprises me. A Formula One team of that stature doesn't have a spare chassis here. So
that's on them.
That's the real problem in this whole scenario.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a great point.
Yeah,
it's a really good point.
So that was, again, what was my first initial look at it was, yes, harsh, but fuck, why didn't they have a fucking replacement? I mean,
yeah, that's right.
Fucking put one on an A380 and fucking fly it out here. I mean, seriously,
not hard.
No.
Yeah, crate it up, box it up, put some bubble wrap around it.
That hard.
Spot weld the other one back to it. Come on,
chuck the Heathrow. They're right next door to it, down in bloody Williams Land. Williams Landing.
Oh, goodness. I got a bit of a tidbit for you. Not a tidbit, but something wacky.
Yep.
The new Formula One Drive to Survive fans. I think the line's blurring between a Swiftie and a DTS fan.
Yeah.
They're all the same. I'm telling you, they're all the same.
I like it, Jim.
Yeah.
No, you know what it is, James? I think they've all got like a little touch of autism.
Yeah, it's like it's got the sensory rooms.
You were like, no, I'm like being serious. Like, we're all a bit of soy boys now. Like, that's the thing.
Speak for yourself, mate.
Yeah, I know. Jesus, don't include me in that.
People since COVID, I don't know if it was in the jab or something, but you get obsessed with things.
I've never seen so many headphones of caddies in my life.
But think about this.
Formula One.
Like the Swiftie situation. We've never had anything like that in existence. I mean, there was a fucking amount of people that came out of the woodworks for that one. Unbelievable.
Well, I'm just saying as well, yeah. I'm just saying, like, when I'm stalking people on Instagram, as we all do.
Hey, speak for yourself.
Yeah, speak for yourself. I don't.
Oh, you wouldn't want
I'm
to open up.
I'm married, mate.
Can you attest of what you see when you open Tom's phone up?
No comment. I'll plead the fifth.
No comment. Anyway, when I've been stalking, like, you know, Insta fucking fans, yeah. F1 yeah. chicks, they're all Taylor Swift F1. That's like their thing. It's like their bio.
Well, did you see the swap of the bracelets and stuff they were doing?
Yeah, that's a very Swiftie thing to do. So I'm just saying, it's just a bit of a, like, it's almost like a bit of a, Swiftie's like a little bit of a cult. Maybe it's a little bit of a cult. That's all I'm saying.
New World
it's,
Order?
Yeah, it's the lines are blurring.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to our friend Molly.
Bristow. Yeah, she's really cool.
She's filming herself on race start and crying, you know? Like, the intense love is...
I was going to say, it's amazing.
It's incredible.
How
crazy, you know? Like,
sports can make people feel.
Yeah, like, she was like... And a lot of people like that, you know? And the emotion, it's just unbelievable.
And she goes to, like, the Bathurst 12 era and stuff. She's really into all the motorsport.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the other fans. I mean, it's just some fucking wacky people loving this sport now, but it's cool.
Well, it's interesting, like, that Drive to Survive, obviously it's massive, but for example, shout out to my Mrs. Han, her family is not into motorbikes, not into motorsport, hate motorbikes. And I'm the only reason why it's been brought into their attention. Anyway, she starts watching MotoGP and now she likes MotoGP and she doesn't want to miss a race. Now, and then I was watching F1. She's like, "Why the fuck are you watching this? It's so boring. Like, it's just the same. Like, no one passes, nothing happens. Where if you watch MotoGP, you know, there's so much more action." And then she messages me the other day. It's like, "Oh, I'm watching Drive to Survive season 1. She's like, "I really like it." I'm like, "Oh, for fuck's sake!" Like, but I'm like, "At least you're like, you know." She's like, "Now, because now I know who these people are and their personalities, and Daniel Ricciardo and Max Verstappen." Now she's really into it and watches watch all of it. And we went over to your house to obviously watch the Formula One. Yeah. She was really into it. So, like, yeah, we make fun of them and it's funny, but it's still cool to have them in the sport. And she's a prime example. Like, she couldn't even tell you what any motorbike or Formula One car was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's all so different. So, yeah, it's interesting.
It's crazy what marketer taps. My mate Nick texted me the other day, said the same thing. He's like, oh, I'm starting to watch Drive to Survive. He put in an order through us, grabbed a whole bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Started listening to our podcast and text me like, you know, F Marquez, Rossi's the best. Bloke doesn't know the first thing about the racing side of things, but, you know, just gets into it. And
that's awesome. That's crazy, what you want. Like, I actually started watching the, I think you've watched it, Daniel, the There Can Only Be One.
Yeah, that's
good. MotoGP.
Yeah.
That's, I'm two episodes in. It's actually, like, it's really, really good. And I was shitting on it like, oh, why? Like, it's not no Drive to Survive, but if you're listening, watch it. It's just on YouTube. It's free. It's really
good. So is that
really
from last season? Is that a recap from last season?
Yeah, it's really good though. They've done it really well.
Do they release it week by week or something? Or do they?
They did for 2022, they released it like once every week. This one, they just dumped them all.
Gotcha.
All the episodes within a day.
Yeah.
The only thing that irks me about it is sometimes it can cut to and from too quickly within the episodes.
Yeah.
But it is, if you love GP and stuff, it is awesome.
It's not up to obviously like the production standards of Drive to Survive, but for what it's really good.
What I like about it's a lot more raw. It's a lot more in the pit. Yeah. Like you see
doesn't seem as manufactured like the Ricciardo Verstappen.
It's not. You're getting it at face value.
Like when Mia Bastianini's like, you know, like this is my name's going to be on that plaque, and then like they tell Pecco like straight after, and he's like, you know, kind of laughs it off, but says, you know, you can just tell their ego fucking comes through. It's so,
that's right.
And like, you know, you look at Pecco and you think, like he's just like he almost seems like he doesn't care to a degree, but then you see like they all just see the red mist, and it's just their egos take over. It's so
wait till you get to the last step.
Oh,
the
can't
last
wait.
Step's fucking.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll have to watch it as
I seriously, I poo-pooed it, and it's really good.
Last episode's mint because it's a lot more of the team and the people in the team as well. Like stuff goes down. It's good.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
It makes the sport more exciting. It really does.
Yeah, and sports like F1 and MotoGP need it because people just think looking at the outside that it's just a car going around the track and they're the only reason why it wins. But it's such a team effort and a manufacturer effort. It's not just, you know, Pecco Bagnaia. It's the CEO of Ducati. It's the team managers. It's the mechanics.
You got to remember these guys have these factories back home in Italy and in England and stuff. There's fucking hundreds of people working on a race day and a race when the race is on strategically. There's so much going on. Like, it's not like the old days, the 50s, 60s, a guy on the wall holding out a thing going last lap. That was it. You know? Like, they're looking at engine temps, oil temps, turning things up, down all the time. Like, it's so intense, all this different stuff. So.
Yeah, Formula One's is a whole other level again.
It's funny. I was thinking about this over the weekend watching, I think at the track, I was thinking, you know, it was funny back before Drive to Survive, there was a lot more mystery watching it. And I'm like, is there too much? Do we know too much is going on?
Like I bought this up not too long ago.
Yeah, I'm like, I really like it was a sort of like magic, not magical.
You don't want to see behind the Iron Curtain almost.
Yeah. Like it was like back in when I used to watch F1 as a kid in VHS, and when turned on, the race started. Like you just didn't know what was going on and like what happened. And like it was so like, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but...
Well, it's like you look at Rossi. Like when I was a kid, Rossi was just like, he's a god. But like you would... The dude's just on such another level that you can't even comprehend. Yeah. Like, you know, you'll hear things like he pays off the Italian media. So they don't, you know, like stuff like that, like makes him a legend.
Yeah.
If you've got too much access, I don't know. Does it dumb it down
like,
a bit?
I don't know. It's like,
but then you look at the Drive to Survive fans and they still think
they're
another Swifty fan again.
That's right. But when I'm a massive F1 fan. When Drive to Survive premieres, I'm not like straight on watching it. Like
I'll watch it later.
Yeah. Like I don't really fast. Yeah. Where some people like fanatical about watching it.
Well, because that's how they watch the racing.
That's how they get through it.
But it's hard for me, and this is why it took me so long to watch this MotoGP one, because it's hard. I can't watch shit on replay. So if I already know the result,
it doesn't matter.
Still more to it that like my autism brain can't handle, you know.
Well, that's the thing. Like the last season's done. You're on the new season now. Now I'm going back through the old season.
And this season, you're already thinking about next season someone's already been signed. Yeah. Who's going here?
Yeah, so it's a funny one.
It's the tears.
Yeah, it is. I like the fact that even you see it a little bit in DTS, you get a little bit of factory access. But if you're full on into the actual machinery itself, I think there's a lot of mystery still in how it all gets put together and built and that process, which for True. Some people are like, oh, I still like the fact that I don't know what's going into that part. True.
Well, when I was watching it the other night with Marquez, obviously he's at Repsol Honda, he was talking about a problem with the Honda, and then he realizes there was a mic in there when he was, and he stops talking, and then it tells him to leave so he can actually talk about what's going on. So that, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
So you're right, it still is that bit of mystery.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
You don't really like. You don't know how what's really real and fake on that Drive to Survive as well. That's what sort of irks me a little bit.
Yeah, especially
the whole fake rivalries and shit like that. So
where it's not like that at all, really.
Well, they're too friendly, lovey dovey, aren't they? In both paddocks.
Yeah,
in both paddocks. So I think we'll get on to probably MotoGP. In MotoGP.
Oh my god!
Like, it seems the tension is building. The tension is building.
What a race! This is what we needed, though. What a fucking race! Races.
Yeah. I mean, fuck. Well, we try not to talk to each other today because, like,
oh my god.
Yeah. I mean, where do we start?
Do you want me to start with race results?
Yes, yep. Please.
All right, sprint race. It's a sprint race, isn't it? This is a sprint race. All right. Maverick Vinales first. Unbelievable. Your boy, Daniel.
Mighty Mav.
Oh, there's so much to unpack with Maverick Vinales.
Oh, I can see your brain ticking.
I know. Mark Marquez seconds. Just again, Jorge Martin third. Bagnaia fourth. Jack Miller fifth. The Beast sixth. Pedro Acosta, my cat, seventh. Aleix Espargaró eighth. Fabio Quartararo ninth. Raul Fernandez 10th. Main race, Jorge Martin, Enea Bastianini, Pedro Acosta, my cat, third, Brad Binder, fourth, Jack Miller, fifth, Bez, sixth, Quartararo, seventh, shout out to Fabio Quartararo, Aleix Espargaró, eighth, Miguel Oliveira, ninth, and Digia, tenth. All right, let's go right into it, the crash. What do we think? I'm going to go first.
Yep.
Racing incident.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we all agree on that. There's no penalty there, definitely.
When I first looked at it, I was like, fuck, Marquez, you idiot. And I'm a Marquez fan. Then I looked at it again, and Crafer put out something. And I was like, fucking Pecco Bagnaia. But then I looked at it, I'm like, it's just a race. They're both going for the same line.
Not even, man. It's what it was. It's the typical one goes out, you're going to go in.
Yeah, and it's a double apex corner.
It's the flip-flop.
Yeah.
How many times has it happened?
Yeah.
But the other thing is, I have to look at the history of Bagnaia as well. He has done that move on several occasions. Mm. You looked at Phillip Island on Honda on the last lap. He chucked it up the inside of both Martin and
Zarco.
And he just sent the bike on that inside line. He's done it again. And I think...
It happens every race.
It happens every race. But I don't think Marquez probably expected to be in there that close. I mean, I think Marquez was trying to cut his line as well. But I think definitely a racing incident.
Million percent. Like I said, Marquez ran wide, comes back onto the racing line. Pecco tries to take that racing line.
And Pecco's, obviously his tyres were cooked at that stage. He's just trying to save points.
Was Pecco slightly wide though?
No, he was pretty tight. He'd seen that opening and then
went.
It's a tricky corner. Wide. That Portimao track is very tricky. It's not an easy track.
I felt like he dumped the throttle and then pushed him out wide slightly. Just that was my look.
Mark already went out. Pecco went to take that gap as Mark came back in the bike.
And he came from a long way back, Marquez. But again, it's just a racing incident.
But how good is this?
Like, it's awesome. It's what it needed. It's almost like both sports is what it needed. I didn't want Pecco just to run away with it again.
Mm.
And then them colliding together as the Ducatis. Oh, fuck. It's so good.
But shout out as well to Martin and shout out to Marquez because... They didn't let Bagnaia just lead that race.
Yeah.
Okay. Because Bagnaia went for it at the start. Martin put it up the inside. Marquez then put it up the inside and said, nah.
They know how dangerous it is.
You fucking get back to fourth or fifth and you fucking stay there because they weren't having it again like it was in Qatar.
Is Pecco Bagnaia a proven, yes, he's had that win against Marquez, his first win, but is he a proven dog in the fight?
No, he's not. No. He struggles in traffic.
He has moments though, like you just said about Phillip Island.
Yeah, I think over the years it's gradually gotten better for him.
Mm.
When he lost the championship to Fabio, there wasn't many times where he would make those moves.
Mm.
Mm.
Slowly we've seen that come through in his first, a lot more in the second, and then I think those moves in Qatar you just go, hold on a sec. He's here to play. And he went to take those moves again. Yeah, it didn't pay off.
Yeah. Tracing. They're not always going to pay off, though.
I think he knows he has to show that he does.
Yeah.
And touching on what you were talking about earlier, the there can only be one, you can see when they speak to him, he does have that.
Oh, yeah.
Which
yeah.
I always doubted.
Mm.
I mean, you looked at the second half of last year, his qualifying was shocking. Maybe he was starting 14th, 15th in some of those races
and came
back and podiumed and won. And like, so, yeah, I think I'm a little bit harsh on him as well, his racecraft, but...
I think
he's just one of those riders. He gets out in front and dominates the race. Yeah. And it's
like,
always frustrating
sort of
to see.
Lorenzo,
yeah. Classic example.
And then I'll look back on it in 10 years later and be like, fuck, I love him.
Yeah. Yeah. like Lorenzo wasn't fifth and then...
Nah, he was pole.
Yeah.
He was pole front. That's right.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is, and we always say it and I'm always going to stick by it, is just him as a person probably makes everyone not like him as much or not appreciate...
appreciate
his craft
yeah.
as much.
So unfair on him because it's like so, he's just a nice guy.
I know, it's so we just love to like yeah. hate someone or love a personality.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's the thing.
That's the problem. And we've been spoiled with that with Rossi and Marquez.
And even a bit with Fabio.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The classic that is Bezzecchi. Like Bezzecchi's not that much like more, hasn't that much more like, you know, he's not that much cooler than what Bagnaia is, but we love Bezzecchi.
Yeah, but they call him a rock star. Like they even say it in that show.
I think because he acts like a rock star too. Yeah. Like,
he's got an aura,
like,
man.
Yeah.
He's got an aura. Like he doesn't take
Marini's another classic example. Like
oh, he's boring as bad
he's
shit.
He's boring, but like people like him. Like no one doesn't like him.
Only because his brother, Bart.
Stepbrother, yeah. Stepbrother.
Oh, stepbrother. Gets stuck in the washing machine.
But yeah, I think that's what that is. But I think he has proven that he can make those moves.
Shout out James Acosta podium.
Yeah,
yeah,
thank
well
you,
done, mate.
Thank you. Second
what
race.
An unfucking believable thing.
Yeah.
Like, just I don't. And this is something we're going to look at in 10 years time, and we're going to go, wow, like that is crazy.
But I mean, I'm already going wow.
I know. It's just watching him like that.
He gives me chills
when he passed Bagnaia and then ran wide. Remember like that bike under him. It's like he's just speedway style. Like it was insane. Like I don't see a bike like that and a rookie in. Since Marquez.
I've got so much on this that I want to ask you boys.
Yeah.
He's amazing. He's obviously amazing. And he made Brad and Jack look slow, which is so fucking unbelievable.
Crazy.
On his second race on a gas. he's so exciting to watch. Going into the corners, he's sliding it in. Now, how does he... I was thinking about this during the race. How did he save tyres? Because he was right on Pecco's ass for 10 laps. He wasn't half a second behind and he wasn't a second behind.
Yeah.
What's going on with the front tyre pressure there?
But I don't think anyone had tyre issues out at the end of the race.
Yeah, Marquez was kept that 0.5 second gap and he was even talking about it after the sprint race.
Mm.
Could that have just been a precautionary thing though? Him doing that?
Maybe. But what's the difference between Portimao having tyre issues and any other track?
Different surface.
Yeah. There's heaps of play for that.
Yeah, okay.
It's a good point. Like, he probably went harder than other riders at the start, as we all saw.
He was going hard the whole race.
Yeah. I think he slipped back up for 5 laps and let the tyres cool down. Like, I think after the race, he said he got advice from Jack Miller on that, where you just said, which is probably the worst advice you can get.
It's a tyre management.
But I think he came out and said, like, he did stay back for about 5 laps and then attacked
I think there was a stage where he did drop back. And not only that, for him, he's got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So why not stay at the arse
for
someone?
Don't you love it?
Like it's awesome.
But he did that in the Qatar as well. He went out, he goes, I'm just going to fucking go and learn. Like if the tyres go, the tyres go.
But he goes and learns and podiums.
I know. Like,
he's a freak.
We'll go back to that, but I just want to touch on Vinales. Do we know like gearbox issue?
Yeah, gearbox. Couldn't find sixth and then I think he... hit second and it jumped back out, then jumped back in or something. That's why he put his leg out to let him know he had a problem. And then as it grabbed, it just shot him off.
Bro, I felt so sorry for him, but like it's such a Vinales thing to happen.
It's such a Aprilia thing to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
On the last lap.
But good on him. Like he was crook all weekend as well.
Yeah, and won the sprint race.
Yeah.
Was looking quick. Like, oh. Oh. Well,
Espargaro did nothing all weekend either.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll go through our mosts, actually. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Boys, most impressive, biggest surprise, most disappointing.
You go first, Dan.
Most impressive for me was actually a guest of the pod, Jacob Ralston, dropping the 20th and then coming back up and finishing 11th.
Love it, mate.
That was freaking unbelievable.
Yeah, he's a star.
And that was a good race. the actual race itself. Yeah. And I don't think many people came off, so it wasn't like he had luck in front of him. Like he pushed.
I really we'll could touch on Moto 3 soon, but I really enjoyed that race, that top six battle.
Mate, that was one of the best Moto 3 races in a long time.
That's a big statement.
It was a little bit more organic, as in like it was real racing rather than just slipstreaming down the front straight.
Biggest surprise was Aaron Canet finally winning a race. Oh,
great one.
Good on him. Well deserved.
15 second places.
15 second places. That's 5 years in the category.
Was it 5 years he's been?
I think he's been in, or it's been 5 years since his last win or something.
Fuck.
Good on him.
On a Fantic.
Yeah,
which is not the greatest bike in that category.
Yeah, he's been doing pretty good on it, though.
But I'll tell you what, he raced awesome and he handled the pressure really, really well. We'll touch on that race later anyway, but another good race.
Yeah.
And biggest disappointment, to be honest, all my stuff's not even from GP. It's Alonso Lopez throwing it down the road.
Oh, yeah, he was winning, wasn't Man. He?
Could have gone points, would have stacked on the points against his teammate, would have been leading the championship, but... Yeah, just when I thought it was all over, I thought that race win in Qatar helped him. No, I was just like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to fight for the championship and a GP seat.
Yeah, 100%. Like, can't do that.
You're it's one these of little the next, moments, isn't it?
Exactly. Like you're one of the next big things, and I freaking love watching him race, man. He's so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was, I was just like, oh, dude. For me, that was mine.
I like it. They're good. They're really good. My most impressive... Look, I'm not going to be... Yeah, it's Pedro Acosta. Obviously, we've already spoken about him. Biggest surprise is that it only took two rounds for Pecco and Marquez to clash.
Yeah,
that's a good one. I like it.
I thought it was going to be maybe in the second half of the year, but it's two races, so...
off to a good start.
Yeah, that's right. It just makes makes Ducati a little bit more tense. It was a racing incident, I understand, but clash of egos.
Yeah,
Pecco certainly doesn't want to be losing too many points. Like all the pressure's on him.
20 odd points behind now.
Oh yeah, it's great for Martin. That's a big thing, isn't it?
Martin just needs to be consistent.
Yeah, and he's so good in the sprint races normally as well. So.
Yeah, and he won at his bogey track. Portimao was a bit of a bogey track for him. He had that big crash, So it was good for him. Most disappointing was Maverick Vinales' gearbox. Just so unlucky, as we spoke about, and Aleix Espargaró. Like, he was nowhere that whole... And, he's complaining, he's having all these problems, but, he doesn't like the track, but... Like, you want to win a title, you've got to ride around these problems.
That's right.
What all the best do.
Yeah, exactly right.
You don't hear them complain. They just ride around the problems. Mm. Yeah, that's what world champions
do. They'll cop the blame and they'll keep going.
Exactly. I know Quartararo for a couple years ago was complaining about Yamaha, but Crafer said this year that he's just shut up and just, he's working to make that Yamaha better, even though he's going to sign for Aprilia and take Aleix Espargaró seat anyway. But
yeah, it's pretty much done and dusted, I reckon.
I think so.
Same thing. But Prost is just probably the most impressive thing I've seen in the last few years on a MotoGP bike. Was just amazing, and he's so exciting for this year, and I can't wait. I'm a big fan.
Big fan.
I'm not usually a fan of these little Spanish kids, but but maybe he's changed my way on that.
You're gonna be part of the Spanish mafia soon.
Biggest surprise to me was Quartararo finishing seventh.
Yeah, solid.
I think
good one.
I just can't wait for Coda and if Alex Rins can do anything. I just want Dan to jump on Dammy's back. So is my hair sticking out? You're looking at my hair.
Yeah, it is. I couldn't stop. That was a tiz.
Yeah, good now. All good now.
Nah, it's still up.
Yeah, I'll get you.
Put it down.
Thanks, bro.
Slide it back a bit. Slide your head. That's it.
Sorry about that, everyone. biggest disappointment for me was harsh, but Oliveira. I mean, it's his track. It's his home track.
Now he had a shit weekend.
He's won on it before. He ended up finishing ninth. Obviously, a couple of DNFs helped.
And we've seen the bike was capable.
Yeah, like, correct. He's on a factory bike, isn't he? Yeah.
Yep, that's why I had him up in my tips.
Yeah, so like you looked at what Vinales did on that bike. Obviously... Espargaró just finished ahead of him. But, yeah, I was hoping for some magic today. I know, Dan, you had him in his top five. I left him out this week because I just was sick of putting him in and getting disappointed. So
yeah, he does that. Going back to Quartararo though, what did you say? You were seventh? Yeah. Seventh? That's a really good result. And it looks like, I don't know if Yamaha's found anything, but they were both top 10 in the qualifying.
I was going to say, even Rins had a decent...
They did.
No, he had an off.
Yeah.
Standard. Yeah. Yeah, I think they were both in the top 10 there for a while. So it's good. And I mean, obviously those three, the three of the top runners crashed, but still a top 10 for him would have been a good result.
Maybe it's a little bit of progress. I don't know. I really hope it is. Maybe Quartararo is just trying to ride around the problems a bit.
Yeah, I think he is.
Bit more.
I think he's matured a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a flowing track, I guess. Maybe it suits Yamaha a bit more. You know what's a funny fact? And I was talking about this the other day. Quartararo is only 24 years old. And fucking Jorge Martin, he's younger than Jorge Martin. Martin's 26. Yeah. I had no idea.
It's crazy.
I thought Martin was like 21 or something. But yeah, it just freaked me out with the tears and shit, you know.
Well, so. I think it popped up on the screen, and it said Quartararo 24 years old. And I'm like, what? That can't be right.
Yeah,
like,
we won his championship at 22 or something.
22, yeah, that's young.
Mir was the same, won his championship at 21.
Yeah, fuck. There you go. I mean, I never really thought about it.
When you think of it, crazy. Stoner same, 21.
Yeah, like Quartararo was born in 1999.
I know.
Like,
fuck that.
But it's funny, you feel like he's one of the older statesmen sort of in the
yeah,
grid.
Yeah, you almost do actually, and he's only 24.
So that's, I mean, there's a lot to learn there, isn't there? So I hope he goes to Aprilia next year. That'll be great.
It's needed.
Oh, dude, me too. Mm. I'll buy all of his merch.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Straight out.
Sure, we might have to do a Quartararo or Aprilia tea if we hear about those news.
Yes. Yeah,
well, he did come out and say he's got news and he's going to make the announcement very soon.
Yeah, he ain't staying at Yamaha.
There was talks with him going to Pramac.
Okay. I haven't heard that.
Yeah, that was thrown around a little bit as well.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know how true it is.
But it sounds like if Martin doesn't get the, you know, factory gig at Ducati, he's leaving as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
So imagine having Martin and Quartararo.
That's my tip is Martin and Quartararo.
I think so.
That's a fucking team.
But there's also, I think Aprilia won Bastianini. That's their first choice.
Okay.
I believe, from what I've read.
He's starting to look better.
So that's where the Martin thing comes in. If Bastianini's going to keep doing this, well, it's hard to get rid of him. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's Miller where you only won a race or two and, you know, a couple front rows and whatever. Like, if Bastianini's consistently with Martin or above Martin, it's hard to replace. So.
Mm. It's a tough one.
Man, Bastianini's got so much talent. Like,
oh, he's so good. I love him. I'm a massive fan.
Dude, it's so good to see him chucking on pole and have the results he had this weekend. Unlucky with his launch.
Yeah.
But
that KDM launch just seems unbeatable, doesn't it? Miller in the sprint race, straight to first. I mean,
yeah. Straight to six.
Standard. He had a better second lead in the first lap, didn't he?
Yeah, he pulled out a hefty one. Same as last year, but did the same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Carbon copy.
Tires were giving him trouble after the second lap.
Yeah, it's fucked. Ducati signed Furman. We haven't even spoken about that since that's happened, but it happened like 2 weeks ago. But
you heard it here first.
Yeah.
I did say that would be the first signing.
You did. Well done.
Well done.
Thank you. I did a Tom.
A lot of crystal balls lately.
We're journalists, I suppose. MotoGP journalists, so we should be.
Yeah, what's the difference? Seriously, we've got a microphone, we put stuff on the internet.
So yeah, it's a 2+2. Two guaranteed with a 2 extension.
Early Daniel, you reckon? He's won. Yes, he showed some real fight at the end of
the early.
After his jump start and double long lap, I was like, oh, it's rookie error. But then to see him come back and carve through and finish in fifth, I was like, that's a good call by Ducati. Snatch him up.
He was 3.5 seconds off the lead in the end.
That was amazing. That's like a Marquez Acosta thing to do.
I was watching that unfold. I was just going, oh, poor Canet.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, he's going to get pipped. I'm like, 100% he's going to get pipped.
I know.
But yeah, I think that. That's a perfect call from Ducati.
Pramac?
That's what they've. I think they've come out and pretty much all but confirmed it.
Yeah,
he actually signed in January.
Yeah, I did hear that. He signed in Jan.
Because there was rumours swirling then, wasn't there?
Yeah.
It was rumour at the end of last year.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's smart. They need to bring the young talent in because, if Martin goes, Bagnaia's getting older. You need that flow of talent.
Yeah, I think Bagnaia's 27 or 28.
You need that young talent. They're going to lose either Martin or Bastianini.
Yeah.
And they're going to dump, obviously, Morbidelli.
Morbidelli's just a stopgap, isn't he?
Speaking of Ducati, though, is Bezzecchi ruined this decision or what?
Yeah.
He's struggling on the 23 with engine braking.
But Marquez is
like you just said though, ride around it.
Yeah. Has he got the X factor?
But he had the opportunity, is what I'm saying, to go to a 24.
But would he be doing anything that much different?
Well, you're giving yourself a better platform.
Is he using it as an excuse, this engine braking issue that he has?
Well, I think it was an issue for everyone when they first jumped on that bike.
Yeah, I think it was. That's how to adapt to it.
Pecco Bagnaia and Martin adapted to it and won a title.
Marquez has jumped on that bike and adapted to it pretty quickly.
Yeah, but you can't compare Bezzecchi and Marquez.
That's right. True.
But Alex Marquez is struggling.
He is. Yeah. He is.
You know.
But I'm just saying.
De Gea seems to be the only one that's making it.
A little bit.
Take away Mark Marquez.
Yeah.
De Gea seems to be the only one that can get his head around it at least.
He didn't do much on the weekend, did he?
11th or 12th, crashed out of the sprint.
Finished 10th in the end after, he would have finished 13th.
What I'm saying is, Bez, he had the chance to jump on a GP24 and he would have known that would have been a very good bike. He would have had the intel.
No, what more to the story though, Chich? You know what I'm saying? It's got to be more to the story.
Well, yeah, because he wants to stay in VR46 and I get it. But if you want to win races, you know, and he's got to get used to being on this bike and he's finished in the main race 20 seconds off the lead. And he finished 11th. Yeah. He ain't winning championships and he's come out saying he's fighting for a title. Not going to happen.
Now he's got to turn it around.
Yeah, not going to happen. So it's just...
work it out.
They've
all got a big enough break now. The people that need to work out how to get around their bikes can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good
Miguel,
point.
Him.
Yeah.
It's crunch time for Oliveira.
You got to remember, guys, there's the top 10. There's a lot of people going for that top 10 in this category now. Like, there is
It's a stacked field.
Apart from Nakagami and Raul Fernandez, everyone's capable of a top... Morbidelli, sorry. Everyone's capable of a top 10 finish. Yeah. So it's so super stacked this year. It's crazy. And then you got this young kid fucking coming in and dominating everyone. Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, Costa. You're gonna have Aldeguer next year on a factory bike.
Exciting. Yep. I mean, MotoGP's never been in a better place, apart from the dreaded Aero, which will to be honest with you, talking about Aero, it's getting super dangerous. I mean, a couple of those incidents with Binder and Miller at the end of the straight, you saw Miller go into the slipstream and just lose all control.
Mm. Yeah. And I think a few riders copped it even just on their own.
Because that first turn is fucking terrifying at Portimao.
It's a gnarly track, Portimao.
Yeah. And you just get sucked into that aero and then you just, you're trying to brake and turn at the same time. It is super dangerous.
Mm. All four Hondas back of the grid They finished just about dead last. Marc Marquez actually repassed Marini after crashing. Fuck.
That's crazy.
They're struggling.
Bro, Marini only finished 12 seconds in front of Morbidelli. Morbidelli crashed on the first lap, and it's Morbidelli.
Yeah, and he's bloody nowhere.
That's bad. That's real bad.
Obviously, Honda's going to struggle, but I didn't realize they're going to struggle this much.
Shout out to Nakagami, mate. It's fucking second Honda on the grid. That was pretty good.
He's carrying HRC. That guy's carrying HRC.
Mr. HRC at this point in time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Hero.
But good racing. Good racing.
Yeah.
Both races.
Yeah, I'm happy with it. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what Honda pulls out. They've got a long way to go. They're only just starting, obviously, going to their concessions now. So, you can't be too harsh on them.
No. So, what's the next race for
Coda?
Coda in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. It's going to be...
Alex Rins, baby.
Fucking put a bet on, Daniel.
Yeah. Chuck it on. $50.
Get the sports bet up.
I was watching free practice at Portimao. Oh, Portimao. Let's talk about the attendance. 41% up from last year.
Yeah, great result. Yep.
Really, really good.
170,000 for the weekend.
Yeah, I thought that was really good.
That's good numbers.
They get 100 at Phillip Island for the weekend.
Yeah.
Just to give you a
So they must comparison. Be doing something. They must be doing something right.
Well, it's the biggest sporting event in Portugal.
Yeah.
Attendance wise. So
that's awesome.
It was really cool. I mean, they're obviously big with soccer and stuff, but
Grouse track.
Yeah. One of my favorites on the calendar.
Because I saw obviously F1's Friday packed. And then I was watching Friday practice MotoGP. There was empty grandstands. I'm like, oh, this is kind of sad.
Yeah.
This is kind of sad.
But again, I was watching, Friday, and they got the attendance on race day. So
yeah.
That Friday at Phillip Island, I'm fucking at in Owa Park. That was just one. Like, there's nothing else like that.
Nah.
Like, who gets 120,000 people on Friday practice day?
I thought the biggest, you know, you said the biggest attendance ever was Adelaide.
Mm.
I thought the biggest for some, like, if you had me guess, would have been Monza. You see the scenes at Monza and how many people are there.
But I think it's a small venue.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah.
Yeah, less. Monza, I don't think you can buy a general admission ticket. All grandstand, I'm pretty sure.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
A lot of those tracks are like that with those, because there's no GA seats. I mean, people would stand and watch it as GA, but you have to buy a seat. Mm. Silverstone, obviously, that's such a huge venue.
Yeah, it's a big place.
To get 450,000 in that joint, it's crazy. In the middle of the city, it's pretty crazy. I mean, Silverstone is a fucking purpose-built track, so.
Yeah, it is. And it's an old airfield, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
There you go, huh?
But it's like Danby said with the tracks, those Middle Eastern tracks, everything's just grandstand. You have to buy a grandstand. Yeah. So that's why they don't get the massive crowds.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
Let's go on to Moto 2. What do you reckon?
So we've still got to talk about Moto 2 and Moto 3. Christ. Forgot about that. I got race results for Moto 2. Congratulations, Aaron Canet. Joe Roberts second. Great ride. Bro. I was so happy for him. OnlyFans. Shout out.
Man, I'm on the bandwagon.
Yeah,
I've invested.
Yeah. How many dollars over your lifetime? What? Nah, you just gotta type in the name and leaked. Get around it, people. Don't even have to pay for it. Let's say leaked afterwards. Find anyone you want. You find Tom on a good day if you write Tom Shabby like leaked.
No, you don't want to see that.
Oiled up.
That's no. I'm trying to get hide that stuff. Come on.
Aaron Canet, Joe Roberts, Manny Gonzalez, pod favorite third.
And pole position as well.
Yeah, he had a
brilliant weekend. He was flying.
Yeah. Furman, unbelievable. We'll talk about him. Fourth. Ogura stayed on the bike. Fifth. Sergio Garcia, sixth. Celestino Vietti, seventh. Arenas, eighth. Marcos Ramirez, ninth. And Somkiat Chantra, tenth. It just shows, this race just showed how good Furman is, though. It just that solidified that seat after last round.
Yeah, 100%. Great call. Yep, totally agree.
It was insane, man. I was watching. I was going, "Oh, rookie!" Like I mentioned earlier, rookie error. But then I was like,
"What? What did a long lap? Was it about a 5 second penalty?
Two long laps.
Yeah, no, but I think they said 6 to 8 seconds.
So fuck.
And it was a big long lap.
So he would have comfortably won the race.
And it was right out in the dirty line because everything was muddy and dusty.
So your next two corners after that get affected as well.
Yeah.
So Aaron Canet still didn't really get a race win.
Poor Canet.
It's still an asterisk, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Poor guy. Overshadowed by someone in fourth.
So just going away from the race a little bit, who's everyone's... like championship favorite for Moto 2.
Furman.
Yeah, Furman's
yeah.
Gonna
it'd be
win.
Furman and Alonso, I guess, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But it's Furman.
Arbolino.
Dixon's even in the top 10.
Nah, he struggled. Dixon's meant to be fighting for it. Even Canet.
Yeah,
These guys are always.
Does Canet have a chance? Because he is consistent.
Well, he is. And now with this, it's a monkey off the back. He's probably a lot more relaxed. There's less stress for him.
Oh, man.
So maybe 100%. We can see him come through and win the championship.
Who's this, sorry?
Canet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's what I said when I was watching. I'm like, I bet you he's going to win like 3 races now just because he's just gone through that.
Yeah, the shackles will just come off.
Yeah.
And then, well, that's going to be really interesting to see over the next few races.
It is, and it's going to be a good season. I don't necessarily think this is going to be a runaway one. I think this is going to be very similar to what we've seen with the year of Bastianini, Lowe's, Marini, and Bears, and even... Remy and Fernandez.
Man, Moto 2's in great. Like
it's going really well.
So
yeah,
good.
I love it.
I remember watching it back. Remember, it's like 16, 17 before Remy and Fernandez, and fuck, it was boring.
It was boring. Yeah. The early days of Moto 2 would.
When they went over to Triumph is when it really
like
started.
10 second gaps between riders and stuff. Like you still get that in some races, but yeah, it's so, and like a lot of different winners as well. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. Different teams.
Hmm.
It's going to be awesome, man. Lopez and Aldeguer had a good little tussle for a little bit.
Yeah.
That was good to see.
Yeah.
Jake Dixon, he had to pull out due to still feeling concussion symptoms from his crash in Qatar.
Big crash,
he had a big off.
Couldn't do any more push-ups.
Yeah, man. It is going to be an awesome weekend. Like I said, an awesome season for them.
Mm.
Gonzalez had a great weekend. He was quick all round.
Big
chucked it on pole. third in the championship at the moment.
Sergio Garcia, six. Like, he's second. I'm a massive fan. We both are. He's a star, man. Second year, and he had an awesome rookie year. He's
killing it.
He's one to watch.
He's late. His race pace and late race pace was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And he just got eaten up at the start. If he hadn't had that bad of a start, would have been a different ball game as well. He's definitely one to watch. And if you compare him to Foggia, Guevara, Masia, the guys that have just come up and been up for a year, they were all next to each other pretty much last.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he was the only one that was rising above it and
literally
was up mixing it with the rest. So
he's doing really well.
You really need that time in that category to just learn the bike.
A lot of people were in there for 4 to 5 years, like Alex Marquez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like these mere mortals, like your Marquez and Acostas, they fly through the junior categories because they're so good. But the truth of the matter is you have to perform and learn the bike and win in that category to get anywhere near MotoGP these days.
It's very true.
Manu Gonzalez, like a talented rider, but he's realistically got to go for probably one of those seats at Rossini MotoGP team, and he's just got to wait and result.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so he might win a championship, for example, but still be there defending it the next year.
Yeah. Mm. So it's not a guaranteed at all to get into that class. So
no. But it is going to be exciting. And it's awesome to see Joe Roberts on the podium. It's always good to see an American up there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, good for the sport as well.
Absolutely is.
Bloody oath, especially because he's going to get bought out by Liberty Media.
Mm. Yeah, it is.
Be sick to see an OnlyFans GP bike.
Ooh, fuck, that'd be cool. They've had the Playboy LCR back in the day.
Yeah, love that.
Cool. For Randy DePugna, shout out if you're listening. I think he is.
My favourite.
Back in France.
You know what though, James? I don't think they'll turn MotoGP into what they turned F1 into.
No, I don't think. How do you know these days?
Yeah, that's right.
Like, how do you know?
You don't know.
Yeah, it'll be a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as we've spoken about, like trying to get everyone to Philippines.
Yeah.
Your parents would have a heart attack if more people came down for the
the
for
problem
the
is, this is an issue if they get bought out by a big company like this. That's when they'll go, fuck it, we're taking it to the bend and we're getting more crowds. That's the problem.
I'll go to the bend.
Yeah, but it ain't Philippines.
No, it's not Philippines.
So it's like...
Fuck Adelaide. Sorry. Melbourne,
nah,
Victoria rivalry.
Adelaide, you're fine. Don't listen to him. You're fine. You'll live golf coming up the next couple of weeks. You'll be good. And the gather round, they're fine.
Gather round. What, play Norwood Oval, 5,000 people? Nah, I'll take the G, thanks, mate.
That's the problem. And that could be an issue going forward.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they take these, you know, they don't go, I don't want 100,000 fans on a track. I want like the fucking Melbourne Park. I want 400,000.
So. It is. Yeah, you're right. And no one wants that. The riders wouldn't want that. Philippines always number one.
Would safety? Circuit. Would there be a point in time in MotoGP history where safety gets so good and they, you know, invent these new barriers or something that where they can do a street circuit?
Oh my god, I don't think so.
It'll never get to that point.
I don't think so. No way. Not when you're doing that speed. No way.
It's amazing.
I mean, look at Isle of Man.
Yeah, there's a death, two deaths every year.
That's right. All those street circuits, Macau, all that kind of stuff. You're gonna,
they still race bikes in Macau,
don't they? Yeah, man, you should have seen some of the liveries for this year's one. Mm. Looked good.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah,
that's amazing. That's because that would be their idea, wouldn't it? To bring it to a city one year, but you'd have to have enough runoff.
I wouldn't even want to race a Moto3 bike around there.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially young kids.
No way.
You know, it's just, I can't see it happening.
It's a disaster in the making.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people that do the Isle of Man sign up knowing that they're going to do the Isle of Man. The young 16, 17-year-old or even a MotoGP rider ain't signing up to do a Grand Prix and then, we're throwing a street circuit.
It's like your old man used to race a Bathurst.
Yeah.
Crazy when you think about
Bathurst.
It.
That's right. So it's different.
Moto3, James?
Just before that, quickly, shout out Senna Agius, pod favourite, got points.
Yeah,
14th. Nice.
And so, the Aussie boys.
Beat Darren Binder.
The Republica boys, fucking solid. Real solid.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's all right.
Joel Kelso,
I mean, I was just about to say.
Just a great weekend. And just, those last few laps. He had it. Like, he had the tyres under him. He was he had the pace and just a couple of wrong moves on that straight, he got squeezed out. And
yeah, I think it's a weight. I think the other boy's a lighter, maybe.
Yeah, you can see he's significantly he's bigger.
Yeah, you can just tell.
So, he just wasn't gaining anything on the straight. And in Moto3, it's so hard. If you can't get an easy pass on the straight, you've got to put it on the line.
Fucking nice.
And he was probably a little conservative. I mean, when we spoke to him, Dan, like, you know, we said, like, come on, like, you know, people go, you're not aggressive enough. He goes, well, if I race in Australia, I'll be like the most aggressive rider.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought he raced good. Like, it just maybe smart. Game recognizes game. And
I think that was just like we touched on, that was a great race.
Yeah, great race.
He took the points, didn't throw it down the road.
Mm.
But how funny is it, the different nationalities, though, the Spanish and the Italians, and they're just so aggressive. They don't care if they lose time to get through, where the, I would say probably the British, the Americans, the Australians are a bit more calculated. Yeah, it's interesting to see.
Yeah.
But we've seen that he dropped a bit from that lead group and then came back really strong in those last handful of laps.
Medium retire.
Awesome.
I would love to know what his thoughts were after the race. I didn't see any interviews with him. But it'd be interesting. What was the results of the top 10 there?
Number one, Danny Holgado, Rulestone's teammate.
Yep.
First, Jose Antonio Rueda rode a good race for seconds. Ivan Atola third, David Alonso fourth, Joel Kelso, pod favorite, fifth. Colavia sixth, Stefano Nepa seventh, Joel Esteban eighth, David Munoz ninth, Adrian Fernandez 10th, and shout out to Jacob Rulestone in 11th, who I believe he was the leader of the second big pack in both races so far. So. Yeah. Man, for a second year, he's doing really well.
How's he going up against, as in the other rookies, James?
Like, I think he's leading the rookie charge. Yeah.
I think he is.
He's top rookie. Yeah.
And he's in a good team and, you know, he's doing... So
he's doing good
things. For a rookie, he seems to be doing everything right.
Yeah. And you got to remember, too, he's 180 something centimeters. He's huge.
Yeah, he's tall.
And not crashing. That's the other thing. He's not crashing. That's a big thing with this category.
You know, and I guess the real fight is once he gets onto those first place battles where it gets even heated again. Yeah. You know?
But man, he's got a proven record up through those junior categories. Like, you know, he's won championships.
Some strong tracks for him coming up as well.
And if you haven't listened to that pod, I highly recommend listening to the Jacob Rulestone pod. It's really interesting how he gets there.
Probably the biggest surprise we had was the determination he had. Wasn't
it was very fascinating.
Yeah.
Something I definitely don't have.
No, the intensity and the determination was... No. And Senna, Aegis as well.
Yeah, like, he was the same.
Like, yeah, they're just different breeds, these kids.
Fucking
hell. That's why we're sitting here and they're doing that.
That's why we're talking about them and they're not talking about us.
It was a good race. That was awesome. That top six battle, like we said. And you could see who was strong in certain parts of the track and who made it work for them. And
Yeah.
It was good.
Going to be a good fight for the title between... Hopefully Kelso, but Holgado and David Alonso as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. I mean, all three categories are going to have all amazing battles.
Yeah.
Like it is every year with GP.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Hopefully Holgado doesn't drop the ball like he did last year.
Yeah, another year in it.
Yeah, he's another year, learned a bit more. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's good. I love it. Moto3, like, it just doesn't get any better, seriously.
It does not.
It's pretty good.
Boys. World Superbikes.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Toprak's move? Valentino Rossi-esque.
Yes. I mean, it's it nearly gathered the thirst trap performance of the week.
Yeah.
But
I love that.
That's brilliant.
But not quite this week. But he take it away, Dan. This is your domain.
Yeah, that was it was amazing. I mean, he took out race one from Bulliger.
Like, I almost turned it off because I thought Bulliger was going to win.
5 seconds out in front.
Yeah, with only a few laps to go.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Great, right, man. Dude, I got
people are coming out today saying it was like the best last three laps performance I've ever seen.
The racing has been so fucking good in World Superbikes this year.
It is. So, yeah, he came through Toprak first, Nicolò Bulliger second, Alvaro third, Ian Ernie fourth, Locatelli fifth, Alex Lowe's sixth, Petrucci seventh, Agata eighth, Vandermark ninth, and Axel Bassani 10th. That was for race one. Like I said, 5 seconds up the road to... I mean, first and foremost, it's his rookie year in the category. For Bulliger to get into that position is
amazing.
Yeah,
he's doing really well.
He's doing awesome, so...
Yeah, he's a star, isn't he?
That was good, but, I mean, Toprak is just man, I was watching him through that, and he had a bit of a battle with Sam Lowes, who'd end up putting it down the road. Mm. But, man, he's that late on the brakes, it's not funny.
Yeah, mm. He's amazing.
That bike control is just incredible, isn't it?
And you think, like, oh, surely he's chewing through tyre or... No. Makes it work.
Mm.
But, yeah, that was... all of the races were good. Super pole race, he comes through, makes that move on Alvaro. And then Iannone swooped through and took second.
Yeah, so. Pip second. Fuck, that was good. You haven't seen that. I'm sure everyone who's listening has, but fuck, it's incredible. I was watching it. I was like, there's no way he's going to throw it up the inside. And he just pushes his way through.
It was a good move. It was a great move. So that were the top three. And then Bulliger fourth, Alex Lowes fifth. Alex Lowes has been pretty consistent on that Kawasaki. And it's not the greatest bike out there. BMW's obviously found something. Vandermark sixth. Yeah. Petrucci 7th, Locatelli 8th, Remy Gardner 9th, and teammate rounding it out, Domi Agata 10th, Super Pole race, and then race 2, let me get it up, Bautista came through, dominated, Bulliger, top rack, Vandermark 4th, Petrucci 5th, Alex Lowes 6th, Remy Gardner 7th, Johnny Ray 8th, Domi Agata 9th, and Garrett Gerloff 10th. So, yeah, like I said, BMW's found something. Scott Redding wasn't far behind him in 11th. So their bikes are starting to really be able to compete. Yamaha looks like
struggling a little bit. And
Johnny Ray is just...
Is he injured from that crash in Phillip Island?
Have we got any footage of that, by the way?
No, I've been trying to find it. I can't find it anywhere. I don't know if he's injured. Nothing's been said, but... Yeah. Yeah, he's had a horror start and he just does not look comfortable on that bike. They've had testing days.
Yeah. Mm.
They have a lot of testing.
Yeah.
They've had heaps of testing. They had that week before GP, then they had
Jerez before that.
Yeah, and they tested last week as well, didn't
they? Tested just before this round too. Yeah. So it's a lot of testing. Yeah, it's interesting, but it's shaping up to be an awesome season.
Racing's amazing.
The racing's great. Mm, yeah. The racing's great. Supersport's the same. It's really tight.
It's been the best racing Superbikes has had in a while because you've got all these, you've got people in different bikes and you've got just different race winners. Like everyone's over Bautista winning or seeing Johnny Ray up there as well. So it's really good for the sport. Now we just need fans to actually go. Like I watched Catalunya and there was no one. It was hardly any. It was just people on the front straight and that was it.
Yeah. It's just about getting people there. But with all these, like you said, race winners in there, I think it probably hurts that it was the same weekend as GP in Portugal down the road.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't help.
True.
Yeah, it's a good point.
But it's shaping up to be a really exciting series. And like you said, we've got all these race winners from different categories coming through now. And they're pushing the envelope. Like I said, Lowes was really fighting. Looked great. Iannone's thereabouts. Petrucci's starting to come into his own. Remy Gardner, Domi Agata, they've got their head around it now. Mm. After a couple of years in, they're really starting to push. So
it's going to gain more fans. And like that Michael Hill in that center of the track.
Oh, I mean, he's amazing.
He uploaded some photos on the weekend and there was some serious amount of people in the middle of the track in that area. Cause
that's what they do so well. Supers.
Oh, people could sit in there all weekend and just enjoy it. I mean, he was fantastic. So if anyone's listening, I can get there and enjoy it. And you might, you know, it's another category to follow.
It's a really relaxed weekend as well. Yeah. You get to meet all of them and they're all pretty chill.
Where's the next race, Dan, in a month's time?
Yeah, they got quite a big break, actually.
Very ASBK with a big break.
Their next one's...
Not 3 months, though.
They're in April, their next one.
You assume so.
End of April, sorry, in Assen.
Oh, cool. There you go.
So that'll be really good.
Yeah.
That'll make for a very interesting
race. That's going to be awesome to watch. Yeah.
Because Ducati shouldn't get away there.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, so, Superbox has been really good this year, I must admit. It's been really good to watch.
Yeah, it's an amazing year for motorsport, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You got us covering it.
That's right. That's fucking nice we do. Daniel, we're talking about coverage.
Yeah.
ASBK.
How'd you go up there, mate?
What a weekend, man.
Your interviews was so fun.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, it was something different.
Very unexpected, wasn't it? I was like, oh, fucking Daniel, what's he doing?
I completely forgot that I bought my mics, to be fair, and bumped into to pod favorite and pod guest Damo Cudlin. Yeah. Shout out.
And you, if you haven't listened to that one, listen to that one. Yeah. Seriously, it's got some. He's got some of the best insights and best stories.
Great stories.
Ciao, Damo.
And just listen to it just for the 24 hours of traveling we basically did. God, it was the biggest day of our lives.
Appreciation post. Yeah. Rossi in Japan
in the bar.
One of the best stories ever. Yeah. So listen in, guys.
Yeah, that's really good.
So yeah, just bumped into him and I was like, oh, let's do something. I got my mics. Let's just film a little, you know, preview thing. And he's like, man, done, 100%. So did that with him.
He's a man.
Got a hold of Ethan Johnson from OJC, Junior Cup. Did a little interview with him, something different, you know. And then Paris Hardwick in ASBK. So it was good, man. Great track. I'd never been to formerly Eastern Creek, Sydney Motorsport Park. Under lights, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing to watch.
I love guitar.
And to see it in person, I made it for me. I was this is it's unreal.
You did some good shots as well. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was. Shout out to my mate Ibi for letting me steal his camera.
Nice.
Point and shoot. But
how was the lighting up there? Was it like full lit, the track?
It was insane.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was really good. The boys say that you can't really see too much off into past the track.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, that could be the future of sport in Australia, because having a night race in Australia therefore means it's gonna be a better time in the States than in England. Because it's gonna be like a 10 AM race. So they're actually in talks of doing a night race Formula One, you know, in the future in Albert Park. So,
that'd be sick.
Yeah,
I've heard that before, actually.
Because, I mean, imagine MotoGP down at Phillip Island, Lindsay Fox isn't going to spend the money, but...
Well, you can't even get new fucking urinals in there, let alone lights.
But, that could be the future of sport here.
If they want to
bring more and more sport here, make it a night event, and then it's a more favorable time. Because if it's a 7 PM start here, it is like 11 o'clock in the morning over there.
Or you bring GP back and do two Aussie rounds, which would be awesome. And then you have a night race at Eastern Creek and one at Phillip Island. And sorry to our Adelaide viewers, but nothing at the Bend. Sorry, bro.
Nah, not the we don't like tracks that were made on keyboards, do we?
Nah.
I was a bit skeptical because I didn't know a whole lot about Sydney Motorsport, and I thought it was going to be relatively flat, but there's a lot of up and down.
The V8s look good around there as well.
Their go-kart track there is so much fun.
Yeah, a lot of people said that actually, but it was good to catch up with a lot of pod favorites and a lot of people all that we boys. know, and it was just awesome. They did a really good pit walk. They do like an hour and 10 sort of lunch break, or dinner break I should say, and it's great. The sun's coming down and the lights start to go on. And then by the time you've finished, it's basically pitch black and they're running out for their last races and stuff. So.
Cool event, man. That's sick. And that's good they're doing something different.
Yeah. And there was a stack of people there on Saturday night.
How's the fans?
Mate, it was chockers.
Oh, that's awesome.
Friday was pretty busy.
Different to when we went to Phillip Island after MotoGP weekends.
That was an embarrassment.
That's so hard though, the week after, it's so destined to failure.
And Sydney Motorsport Park's like in Sydney.
Yeah.
You know, it's 25 minutes from suburbs where you would live, you know, or you're in the suburb.
Yeah, so Saturday night I was expecting to be busy, but not as busy as what it was.
That's really
good. People all over the back of the pit.
It's so smart though, because their families can go, oh, it's like going to the footy. You know, let's go. We're going to the races tonight. Like, how cool is that?
And
like,
and it was that there were a lot of families, a lot of young kids, and
yeah, nice.
The boys were great. Like through all the categories from OJC up to superbikes, even the masters. Like taking photos with the kids.
God, it would have been non-stop action.
Man, it was
4 or 5 categories on.
Junior Cup, 300, Supersport 600, 1000, SBK, and masters.
Yeah,
That's cool.
Yeah, it was amazing, man. It was just good racing. Race one was sick. Crew Halliday took it away. Homeboy, home race. Did really, really well. And then, so Ducati dominated qualifying. They're pretty liking the other categories. They're amazing.
Yeah.
So Waters first, Voigt second, and Herfoss third. It was good to catch up with him from his stint in America.
Yeah.
Said he loved it, had a great time. Still trying to tee something up with him. Hard man to get a hold of.
Yeah.
Might have to meet him in America.
Ooh, don't tell me it's a good time. Yeah. But yeah, race one, Crew Halliday came through first, Josh Waters second, Harrison Voigt third, Mike Jones, fourth. Cameron Dunker, young 15 or 16-year-old, rounding out the top six.
Good on him. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so that was it was amazing. And then, so that was during the day. And then race two at night, Josh Waters, Brock Pearson, Max Stauffer, Crew Halliday, fourth. Harrison Voigt, fifth.
So they do a Friday night race?
Saturday.
Day and Saturday night. Yeah, right. Okay. And they just do practice and qualifying on Friday.
Yeah.
Clear visors or tinted visors under lights?
Clear.
Okay.
A lot of them are clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So call it, yeah.
Did Campy run a clear visor as well?
I would assume so, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good. Just wanted to make sure.
But it was awesome.
Going to dart.
it was great. And then obviously they do their overall winners as well.
Yeah.
On points based. So,
yeah. Shout out to Campy Racing, by the way. My number one.
Easy number one.
I'm number one ticket holder for them.
Yeah, you are.
Would highly recommend. I think I might be close to becoming ASPA's number one ticket holder.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and get around to pretty much all the races this year if I can.
Bro, get those media passes going. You should be hand one to every race now.
Surely. But awesome event. If you're around, the next race is in Queensland in a month's time.
Is there people in Australia doing much more than ASPK than what we are?
No, I'm telling you, I don't think there is.
I think it's a bit hard. Like, we had a lot of positive feedback.
Not financially, but like coverage. I mean, surely we're up there.
Well, we had a lot of. Well, I think Talk and Chatter does a little bit. Does a few pods.
Oh yeah, he's
people.
Good.
He's really, really good.
Yeah.
But had a lot of feedback from a few of the riders saying that what we're doing is awesome.
Yeah.
And they love to see it and love to see that we're there.
Yeah, it's so awesome.
It's a positive.
Man, it makes a big difference.
Well, we love it.
It's a big effort and to go up there, so well done.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. Like I said, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
If it wasn't on F1 series weekend, we would have been enjoying. I was ready to go up with you.
100%. 100%. Mm. It was so just, annoying. Yeah, shocking timing for that, unfortunately. But
that's why they probably got Eastern Creek cheap same weekend.
Maybe. Yeah.
But it looks like it's getting bigger. And I spoke to Damo and he's pretty confident that it's getting bigger as well. So,
mate, that I'm telling you, that is the perfect thing. A Friday and a Saturday, a 2-day awesome event. You have your practice, you qualify on a Friday. Did they qualify at night on Friday or was it just during the day?
At night.
Fuck, that's just so cool. And then have this Saturday night is the spectacular race.
Yeah.
People can come watch it.
That's exactly what
that's
it,
what
was,
it needs. I'm telling you. That's exactly what it needs.
And especially if you're in, like, you know, Phillip Island during summer or Queensland and it's like fucking 35 degrees and there's no shade, you don't want to be out there either.
Yeah.
You know, night, it's just a bit nicer.
Yeah, it's the other thing ASPK could do would be like do a summer series. They do it over the summer period and do some night races when it's really hot, that sort of thing. Because in the winter, like, are you really going to go to watch ASPK when it's pissing down rain, when there's GP on the TV? Do it when there's no other racing happening. Yeah. That would be the fucking go.
I guess the only track they can do it at is Eastern Creek, isn't it?
Yeah, they do.
Darwin.
Do they race at Darwin, though?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. It's a doubleheader V8 and SBK.
Oh, okay.
And they got lights at Darwin.
Oh, we should go to that one. That'd be cool.
Perth, that would be. Apparently, it's a really good one.
Yeah, we should go to that.
Perth have a light as well.
Do they?
Yep.
I don't think they race at Perth.
No. Barbagallo.
Oh, still gone.
But they do like local night series and all the boys go
I've
and
heard
race
of that.
There.
Well, the boys were saying that at GP, like they did a night
series. Bluestone raced it.
Yeah.
So all those guys are there.
That's cool. I love that.
And it's great to see guys like Vermeulen's there doing commentary. Yeah, yeah. You got Steve Martin doing commentary. Braxy's doing
live.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I love Braxy.
And Troy Corse.
Don't know where he's come from. Yeah. I love him.
Troy Corse has jumped on board to do
it
as well.
He's doing the hot laps, isn't he?
Bro.
You getting on the back of what, Daniel?
I would love to get on the back. I've got to hit him up. Dude, he monitored the whole straight. He had this chick on the back the whole straight. Then he puts one leg out and waves to the crowd with the other hand. I'm like, what is going on? But even like Steve Martin does the other pillion rides on the R1. And same thing. These guys just on the back wheel, like, unreal.
Different.
Mm. Different ball game. But it's so good to see all these guys giving back and being there for the whole year, not just one-off races commentating.
100%. Yeah.
Like, it's what the sport's needed.
Yeah.
And it's really good. And like I said, you know, Damo coaching Paris, and I'm sure there's other guys that are out there helping out other young kids.
Yeah.
It's what we want to see. We just want to see it grow and be another successful sport in Australia.
Yep. Well said.
Well said. Yeah.
Well said. I want to go to the next one, so we'll organize it.
Yeah. Done.
Yeah. Now, 1,000,000%. We'll get down. It'll be good fun.
Beautiful, boys.
Beautiful.
Anything
else to add?
Special guest pod getting released this weekend.
Yep.
Yep.
So this will get released whenever next couple of days, and then
We'll do it next week.
We won't spill the beans on who it is.
No.
But it's it's very, very cool pod. Yeah. Definitely get around it and get around who it is too.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Thanks, boys.
See you, gents.
See you, guys.